In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in our epistle this morning, seeing that a man is not made righteous by works of the law, but by faith. It's time that we Orthodox came to understand this teaching. The righteousness of God is Christ Himself. And says St. Paul, Christ is our life. And the Lord Himself says, I am the resurrection and the life. So Christ is our righteousness, Christ is our life. To be made righteous, then, is to be made perfectly one with Christ, perfectly one with God in Christ. Even to become a God, ourselves, a God, a child of the Most High, as the psalmist says, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We are made righteous through faith, says St. Paul. But what is faith? The root meaning of faith is a turning. A turning, an orientation. The psalmist is the one who defines faith perfectly. And actually, he defines faith perfectly many times throughout the Psalms. Here's an example. O Lord, toward Thee have I raised up my soul. My eyes are always toward the Lord. Biblically, faith is the heart turned toward the righteousness of God, which is Christ. And so it is to love God with one's whole heart. And as we saw this morning at the family hour, the one that we love is the one that we go to. We don't go to the one that we don't know or love. And that's faith. Faith is going to the one that we love. St. Paul says we are not made righteous by the works of the law. That's because, as he says later in the same epistle, he says, through the law, I died to the law. And then he goes on to say, in order that I might live to God. You see that the work of the law, its purpose, is precisely not to make us to live. Its purpose is to expose the idolatry of our covetousness or self-love. That's its purpose. And it exposes this self-love of ours, whether we keep it or don't. If we keep it, it shows us our self-love. If we don't keep it, we're falling into idolatry, and we see our idolatry. And so the purpose of the law is to give us the means to put our self-love to death so that we might live in the love of God. That's the purpose of the law. Not to make us alive, not to make us live, but to kill us, to put us to death. That's its purpose. For what is the law? What is it distilled to its essence? It's the commandment of God. Thou shalt not. That's the law. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship any graven image. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, thou shalt not live according to the desires of the flesh, but according to the will of God. But what is this, thou shalt not, of the law? But the Lord's commandment to Adam when he said, from the tree of good and evil you may not eat. But what is this commandment that he gave to Adam, if it is not the very commandment that we hear the Lord giving to us this morning? Whoever would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Let him lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. in order that he might find it. And you see from all this that the works of the law, the purpose of the law, precisely, was not to be our life. It was not to be our life. But it was to be the death of our self-love, in order that we might, that those of Israel who loved God might live in God. If giving Israel the means for putting to death what is earthly in us was the work of the law in the Old Testament, then the engine that drove this work of the law was faith. In other words, a heart wholly in love with God, whose eyes are always toward the Lord, so that in the love of God, in faith, the Israelite denied himself. He kept the law, and he worked to deny himself in order to follow the word of the Lord into the promised land of Israel's inheritance. That was his hope. But what does the Lord say to Moses? He says, I am your inheritance. The inheritance that Israel, that the pious Israelite was living for, the inheritance that the pious Israelite loved and that he was facing in faith, was Christ. For St. Paul, this faith was the lifeblood of the law. He quotes Moses, the word is near you, it is in your mouth, it is in your heart. What word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart? What word? It's the word in Hebrew, the davar, an important word. It was the word that is the substantive, living, creative truth of God, the word that is behind all things, as their root, as the beginning, as the Ahi, in which all creation comes to be. And this word of the law of Moses, says St. Paul, this is the word of faith that we preach. Through the law, says St. Paul this morning, I died in the law. You see, it was by keeping the law that I died in the law, in order that I might live in God. There is a profound teaching in these words of St. Paul. A profound teaching. And I don't think it's possible to see into those depths at all if one's ears are not turned to listen attentively to the word of the church's theological doctrine. In other words, one's theological understanding at the outset either blinds or illumines one to St. Paul's teaching. This is to say that our confession of faith in which we approach Holy Scripture is a big deal. Either we confess a faith that will blind us to the deeper teachings of the Bible, or we confess a faith that illumines us and allows us, opens our eyes to see into the deeper meaning of Holy Scripture. So let us attend. Listen closely. Christ is himself the word of faith that St. Paul proclaimed. And he became flesh, and he dwelt among us in order that he might become the completion of the law, the telos, the completion of the law, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, so that the word of the Lord would be written no more on tablets of stone, but in our heart, as the prophets say. And the word of God completed the law in the flesh when he died on the cross, as he himself bore witness when he cried out, and listen to this, he cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished. It's from the same word as telos. What St. Paul says in the reference above that I just quoted is this. For to all those who believe, Christ is the completion, the telos, of the law. And then he uses this preposition, east, which means into. It implies a movement. So to bring it out, I would translate it that Christ is the completion of the law that leads into righteousness. When he says that Christ is the telos of the law, the end or the completion of the law, St. Paul is turning our eyes to Christ, crying out on the cross, Tetelestai, it is finished, it is completed. What I hear St. Paul saying is that Christ completed the law in his death on the cross. He completed it. For to kill the body of sin was the law's purpose. More deeply than that, when St. Paul says that Christ completed the law that leads into righteousness for those who believe, what I hear him saying is that by his death, Christ united us in our heart, in our root, he united us to the word of the Lord, which is Christ, the righteousness of God, who is the source, the archi, in which we are rooted. And he inscribed the word of the law, which is himself, on our heart. He led us back. He led us away from the tree of good and evil you shall not eat. And he led us back to from the tree of life you may eat. For Christ himself is the fruit of the tree of life. What then could this righteousness be that Christ leads us into by his death and but the life of his holy resurrection in the Garden of Eden? And that means that his death on the cross has opened Eden to all. It means that his tomb is the entrance. And that means that we return to Eden when we unite ourselves to Christ and we put to death what is earthly in us by taking up our cross and following him into the tomb of our heart in the love of faith. Can you see how Christ crucified on the cross is the very shape of the Old Testament law, now completed? For the death of Christ on the cross is the consummate expression of human obedience in love to God. And obedience in love to God is the very heart of the law. That would mean that when the righteous of the Old Testament died, the law in which they died brought them as on a mystical exodus to the foot of Christ's cross and united them to Christ in his death. So that in the death of Christ, they died in the law. The law had done its work. It had given them the means to deny themselves and to lose their life of self-love for the sake of or in the love of the word of the law, which was Christ. For them, this word of the law, this Christ, was yet to come. But by their faith, as St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Hebrews, by their faith, they could see him from afar off. When Christ appeared, when he became flesh, and when he appeared absolutely perfectly on the cross, not just our death died, their death died too. As it says in Matthew, at the moment that Christ died, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and appeared to many. By their faith in the Christ who was yet to come, in his appearing, the righteous of the Old Testament are now perfected, as St. Paul says in this epistle to the Hebrews. They are perfected, and it's the same word again, that how would you, teleothosin, the same word from telos, And St. Paul says that they are now perfected with us. And with us they now live in God. So in Christ, the word of the law incarnate was rejected by the builders and killed outside the city and buried in the tomb. The righteousness of God became, this is the marvel, the righteousness of God became perfectly one with us, inscribed forever in our heart. Christ is the cornerstone, and it is marvelous in our eyes because he is laid in the tomb of our heart where we are dead. And it's marvelous because death is the opposite of righteousness. Righteousness is immortal, says the wisdom of Solomon. The righteous live forever, it says in the wisdom of Solomon. And in our death, in our unrighteousness, in our heart where we are dead in our sins and trespasses, that's where the cornerstone of righteousness was buried. That's where it was laid. And there where we are broken and weak in the shadow and the darkness of our death because of our sins and trespasses, right there, Christ, the cornerstone, unites us to the Father in himself, and he makes us righteous. He makes us a living and a new creation, born in his Holy Spirit from above as gods, children of the Most High. And the hope and love of this marvelous faith of the church that we have been baptized into, that we have been washed in. This marvelous faith of the church that is soaking wet with the living waters of divine joy inexpressible. Think about it. Think about it until you taste the joy, and don't stop reflecting and contemplating on it until you break through and taste and touch the joy that is embedded in the faith of the church. And in the joy of this faith, we take up the cross. We take up the cross and the disciplines, the works of faith, prayer and fasting and obedience to Christ's commandments. If these disciplines of the faith, prayer, fasting, and all of that, obedience to the commandments of Christ, if these are the flower that blossoms from the tree of the cross, as we read in the Lenten Triodion on the first Wednesday or Thursday of Great Lent, it means that these disciplines of abstinence, these disciplines of faith, prayer, fasting, obedience, it means that they are filled with the living joy of the resurrection. And they are so because they are rooted in the life-creating death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our most blessed Savior. So when we do these things from the heart, not just glibly, but from the heart, with attention, with reverence, when we do them from the heart, brothers and sisters, we are receiving from them the power to lose our life and to follow Christ to the cross and to crucify what is earthly in us and to follow him out into the Garden of Eden so that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.